to the world, and his yard site is tonight. So Rabbi Nachman himself says he would have nothing; he would be nowhere without Rabbi Nachman. And a lot of people don't really understand Rabbi Nachman. They think of him as, you know, the Nanach guys dancing on trucks, a lot of fun, but they don't really understand him. The only way to really get to know him is to learn his Torah. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to learn today 7 teachings of Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov from his book Sefer Hamidot. Now, why do I love Sefer Hamidot? This book got me to the army. Let me explain. So it's Rabbi Nachman actually wrote it, but Rabbi Nachman's teachings on all different character traits, and they're all like one-liners. They're not like long essays like Likutei Maharan, which is just like Maximum Office. They're like one-liners. They're really simple, so to speak. But you could read every one of these things and like think about it for an hour. So when I was in the army, when you're on a shift, you're really bored, right? It's hard to keep yourself conscious. So they take out a safer and mama shtag. That's not really nice. You're supposed to be guarding, you know, guarding Am Yisrael. But to take like a one-liner every once in a while, and you literally could think about these one-liners sometimes, they're so wacky, for like an hour, 2 hours. So this guy was like my go-to book. It's also small. I would like hide it under whatever. And I would read one line and think about it for a long time. And so when I was at the Kotel this morning, I thought, hey, I'll learn some Rabbi Nachman with you guys. And wouldn't it be nice tomorrow before a fast day to learn about Rabbi Nachman's take on eating? Because after all, a lot of life has to do with the fixing of eating. We talked about eating last week. Fasting, I think, is in order to reorient our eating. So let's talk about how Rabbi Nachman understands that we should eat. How to eat like holy eating. Okay, so take your time enough to, you know, or take double so you can eat with holiness some extra. And we're going to see what Rabbi Nachman has to teach us about holy eating in a Hasidic, Kabbalistic type of way. Sounds good? All right. Rabbi Nachman, number 7. I have another good story about how Rabbi Nachman saved my life, but I'll save it for the end. Okay. So, Rabbi Nachman teaches us the first teaching. What you eat, let some remain. You guys, at the end of your meal today, leave a little bit of your falafel. Yeah. Muster masters also do this. People who are big in self-control.
Also contemporary table manners. Or traditional table manners.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
What is it?
It's weird. Some culture, it's different though. It's other cultures, it's like very, it's only spot you want to like finish the whole plate.
You leave it. Yeah. I heard of a fantastic, one of these cultures that they live a very long life, where one of the ways they do it is when they remind themselves before every meal not to overeat, to eat only till like 2/3 full, like the Rambam. And 2, they don't put the food on the table. Because then it just tempts you. They put it over there. If you want doubles, you take doubles, but like, it's, you just eat. Yeah, it's like buffet style. And actually, I like that much better. For up to me, I would do every Shabbos meal like that, because otherwise I just end up tempted.
You're supposed to leave food left on your plate?
So Rabbi Nachman says, and many Hasidic masters talk about this, leave food on your plate, so that the blessing can fall upon your food. Okay? When you leave, the blessing falls upon your food. So, sorry. Why? Why does Rabbi Nachman say that we shouldn't eat the whole falafel? Why leave a little bit at the end? What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's a sense that, like, I don't need to, like, I'm going to be just as full without, like, that last bite. But it's a sense that, like, I can restrain myself, but I'm not, like a slave to my desire.
It's the means, not the end. It affirms self-control.
Awesome. Self-control means not the end. It's not about just me. It's about receiving the food in order to give back to the world. Not about just, you know, taking. Not taking, but giving. A little bit like we talked about last week. Amazing. It's beautiful that Rabbi Nachman says that. And if you guys want to work on your self-control, it's a great place to start to do that. Okay. And actually, of course, we could, again, talk about this for hours, but I'm just giving you guys tasters. That's what this year is, kind of tasters. Bet. Rabbi Nachman, number 6. Shulchano shel adam mitaher lo mikol havanotav. Our table purifies a person from all of your sins. So when you eat properly, all of your sins get purified, says Rabbi Nachman. What you talking about, Rabbi Nachman?
Not exactly.
So how do we understand him? What does he mean? Every meal, it's like a new start. You know, the Mor of Hashemesh, my great-great-great-grand something or other, uncle, says that for every meal, you should do tshuva. Whenever, before you eat, the mamish say, oh, Hashem, the God who goes out, and then enter into the meal. Yeah, so you do mincha before davening. Maybe that's. But why? Why does eating the meal properly pure? Why is that like going into a mikvah? Why are we in a mikvah right now?
Well, we're not in the ocean right now. We're not fish. It's impossible.
I don't know. Why is it doing?
What do you guys think? Why do you think it purifies from all these sins?
By eating well, it's going to affect like mitzvahs throughout the day and like character and like how you're going to end up like.
I like it. Right. Doesn't that happen when we eat too much? We end up kind of being lazy and we get annoyed more easily. And then when we have self-control and we eat in like the proper way, we feel good about ourselves. We feel energetic, right? So you're talking about the effect. I'm going to say even deep. I think the act itself of eating is a deep act of connection with Hashem. As Rav Pinkus writes, there's no time in life when we could be feel Hashem's connection more than eating. You think it's during davening, right? But you have to be a very spiritual guy to feel like davening is giving your energy for the day. When you're eating your soup right now, you mamish, God is feeding you. If you didn't have this food, you would die. Eventually. If you didn't have this water, you would eventually die. So God is giving you life. And when you do that in a way where you're appreciative, not an animal, but you're doing it with this God consciousness, that actually is purifying you. Gevalt. L'chaim. Okay. Rabbi Nachman, number five, we're up to, sorry, number five. Kishe ochel ksat, libo nimshach yoter achar achila. When you eat a little bit, you want to eat more, right? Umimi shelo achal klal v'nitya yesh melechol. And it's a lot harder today to eat the proper amount than tomorrow to fast. It's easier to eat a little bit and not overdo it than it is to not fast at all. Has anyone ever experienced that? That like once you start, you're like before you start eating, you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna have that iced coffee, and then you like have a little, I'll just have a little, and then it's over, right? You know what I'm saying? So Rabbi Nachman's actually saying, in a way, and this is a derech of Chassidish, it's easier to just not eat at all, to fast, right? But the derech of Chassidish is to say, I'm gonna eat, I'm gonna embark, I'm gonna have that l'chaim. But I'm not going to have five of them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to overdo it. I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to do it. And I'm doing it to raise up the world and not to get submerged into the world, which is much harder than just staying away from the world in the first place. Right? I'm not just talking about eating here. I'm talking about all of life. So we see that Rabbi Nachman is teaching us big Torahs. When you start eating that meal, you really need to like, you're going to battle. Think about it. Lechem milchama. Same word. Same word. It's not a coincidence. It's a war. Definitely not a coincidence. But actually on a pshat level, most wars in the olden days were fought over food. But actually on a pshat, I think that is why. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Vaiser, because we're doing a fast one there. Okay. Rabbi Nachman number four. I'm really just going in order today. Whoa. Why during the time of Achashverosh did the Jewish people get a decree that they were going to get wiped out in the time of Purim? Purim's coming up. Because they were because they ate from the meal of Achashverosh. It wasn't even like that they did a Avodah Zarah, wasn't kosher. But they're getting, the way of eating in that meal was just bad. Why?
Is that a medrash?
That is based on the Gemara. Most of these things that he's saying are based on Gemara and Medrashim. That's based on Gemara in Megillah. But what does Rabbi Nachman mean by that? What's so bad about eating at the frat party?
What were using?
The vessel that they were using were the vessels of the base of Megillah. That's what the rabbis say. That's true. But let's say we didn't even give that Midrash. Why is it that, what's so bad about eating at the party of Achashverosh?
Not the way you should be eating. They were
indulging themselves. Mm-hmm. The Avira, the environment of the whole meal was one of impurity and not holiness. And the environment affects everything. By the way, that's why Rabbi Nachman and all the Pirkei Avos talks about how you need to talk Torah at a meal. So important to talk Torah at the meal because it brings an avira. We're right now bringing a holy avira. I mean, thank God you have a lot of rabbis talking Torah and everyone's talking Torah, but we're bringing Torah to all of the meal. You know, Rabbi Nachman says in another place by a wedding, people think the biggest thing by the wedding is the dancing and the singing. Rabbi Nachman says when you're eating the meal, you're actually just sitting down, you're actually affecting the zivug of the husband and wife. and their whole relationship is being affected when you're having that pseudo smitzvah. Isn't that crazy?
Can we write up Mitzvah Chasidish wedding 2 weeks ago?
Last week.
Last week, whatever. And these people are telling us to sit down. Like, no, we're going to be like, no, no, no. You have to sit down. Right. So maybe they're breastfeeders.
Must be. Must be.
No, no, they're a bubble.
So I am a bubble. I'm bubble. There we go.
That's why you have a dairy wedding.
You want to invite?
I don't overdo it. Tacos, I have a big problem with the overdoing of food at weddings. But that's a whole different.
That's what you get sushi.
Well, so that's what I had at my wedding, but it wasn't so good apparently. At my wedding, we had one course. That was it. We had watermelon for dessert, and we had one course. And apparently, some of the food was really good, and some of the food was not so good. But everyone had a great time anyway.
Did we eat
anything?
I did not really eat. Some people do. I don't know. It was fasting, but I wasn't that hungry. I kind of was excited about dancing and stuff, to be honest. All right. I had like a some diet of water. Right, number, I think we're up to three. This is what we're talking about. If you eat without washing your hands, it's like you've slept with a prostitute. Wow. Rabbi Nachman. The truth is, Rabbi Nachman is not making this up. Anybody know where this is, where he's getting from this? That if you eat without washing your hands, it's like sleeping with a prostitute? It's a mafudish gemara in Sota. Gemara in Sota says that line that when you eat bread without washing, it's like sleeping with a prostitute. Anybody know why?
Because I'm gonna just mumble some words, but like you're not like recognizing like that it's not yours, but it is yours. But you're taking it, but I can't say the words. But
you're referencing the gemara in bracha, which just says that before you make a bracha. Before you make that blessing, the blessing is God's. You don't have a right to touch it. But after you make the blessing, then it's God's.
I got the real answer.
Now you got the real answer. Okay.
Because you make a bracha on your wife, you betroth her, you do the...
Ooh, beautiful. So you're saying really the same idea, which is that when you marry a woman, you're makadishing her. You're dating, I'm not going to just use you. I'm gonna build something, unite something. That's why even before you have relations, when you're married, it's a big Indian to have the holy kavanos, to do it in a holy way. Some people say a special prayer, right?
So it's a bracha for sex.
Not there's no bracha for relations, you can ask for a double, why not? But there is like a special tefillah that some holy people do, and it makes a lot of sense. Because your intentions will actually affect your children. But again, we're a little off topic here. The point is that when I just indulge in the food, I'm an animal, and animals just eat. And that's what you do with a prostitute. You just indulge in that taiva. And food and sex are very related to tikkunim. The tikkun of Yosef, tikkun of Yisod, this week's parsha. In any case, so we don't just engage in food. We stop, we wash, we prepare, we go into a mikvah, and then we engage in the food with the holy bracha. And by the way, this sometimes happens to me. Sometimes you're all psyched up to say amazing brachas, and then in the middle you're like, oh shoot, I forgot to say a good bracha. You just rushed it, right? You know what you can do at that point? You say, thank you, Hashem. You still talk to Hashem. I say, sorry, guys, I forgot to say a good bracha, but I really, really appreciate the food, and I'm going to say an awesome bracha from it. It's never too late. Happened to me this morning. I'm so excited, and then I had my coffee, I like forgot, and I said a quick bracha, and I was like, sorry, Hashem, I'm really, really appreciative. It worked. Okay, Rabbi Nachman number two.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mi sheyesh lo tzelem Elokim. If you have the image of God, al yideh chiloto davar min achay nitalev echen hefech. When you eat holy food, you raise it up. You raise the food up, and the food raises you up. So now we're going back into reincarnation and all that stuff. But the idea is that this little potato has holy sparks in it, right? You know, Aaron, the light and the vessels and the holy sparks all throughout the world. I don't know if you guys have learned about it, but the Kabbalah said there are holy sparks in everything. And so when I eat this potato, I actually raise the holy sparks of this potato up to Hashem, and it actually raises myself up. So our different levels of souls are actually intertwining and raising each other up, but only if you do it in a holy way. And if you do it in an unholy way, unfortunately, you raise it down and it brings you down, according to Kabbalah. So now Rabbi Nachman's going a little Kabbalistic on us, and he's saying that you're really having a huge effect on the universe when you eat properly or not. So, all right. So the number one, Rabbi Nachman, Torah of the day. I don't really know why this is number one. It just happened to be in that order. When the tzaddik eats, and all of us really can be a tzaddik, it's higher than korbanos, and it's even higher than their relations. when they're eating, if you see a tzaddik eat slowly with a bracha, mamish with kavana, that is a holier avoda than even a korban. It doesn't matter whether animals or a cucumber, than even zivugan. Where did Rabbi Nachman get through? That's why this book doesn't give you sources, so you can figure it out. There's another version, which actually gives the Mara Mekomas. Nothing he says is made up. He brings it from the Zohar, he brings it from the Gemara, he brings it from here, he brings it there. It's mostly Gemaras. Rabbi Nachman knew like all the Gemaras. But he didn't make it up. But it is a crazy idea. And it just shows you what a high level eating the Kedusha is. So I bless myself, and I bless you guys, and I daven that we should chazik ourselves as the fast day comes tomorrow. We kind of show that we're not animals and we can take a day off of food. The main avoda of tomorrow will be right after the fast. Right after the fast. You take 5 extra minutes and you learn a little Torah. You daven a little extra. And then when you say that first bracha, you say it slowly. Do you eat slowly? Or do you indulge and just go hard onto like the 7 slices of pizza? Right? I don't know. But the point I'm saying...
Some people like learn the first...
Yeah, sure. Well, so I have that. You know, like I used to do an hour after fast, and then I got married, and it depends on my wife's mood. But the point is, you definitely should try to learn a little bit after every fast, not just Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, a lot of people learn Sukkah, because Rosh Hashanah recommends learning Sukkah, because... But really, you can learn anything from our lady.
It's going to be a fire. I should have learned a fire. I don't know.
Kindness would be extremely appropriate. You know what would be also always appropriate? Rabbi Nachman. It'd be a great day tonight. And Rabbi Nachman's Breslov yard site. Should I close with my... Did I ever tell you guys my crazy chidah story about eating? I know I've told JJ a million times, but I don't know if you... let me tell you a story because it's worth it. It's a really crazy story. It's a great book. Okay, so here's my crazy eating Hashem cares about the way we eat story. So, when I was in the army, I knew that I shouldn't overeat. My whole life, I've known that I shouldn't overeat. I've always felt that when I overeat, it's bad for my neshama. And at the same time, I have a big taiva for eating. And I enjoy eating just like everyone else. So it's always been a struggle for me. So one day in the army, I was off. I went to Me'ah Sharim, and I bought this book of the Chidah, the Holy Chidah. And it's like customs of the Holy Chidah. And I went... That weekend, my mom bought me chocolate, Parv chocolate, okay? Now, I got off the bus in the army to go back to the army for the week. And I was reading my Chidah book, and I had my Parv chocolate, and then we had lunch. And I had a salami sandwich, okay? I wasn't a vegetarian back then. And like everyone else, I ate because it was really hot, and it's very frustrating in the army, and I ate a lot. And I was satiated. And they announced, we have 5 minutes till we have to bench and be ready to stand. At that point, I knew that I should bench, that I would have holy kavana and not eat anymore because I wasn't hungry anymore. At that same point, I felt the chocolate. A battle went on in my brain. My yitzhahara, my yitzhar tov. My yitzhahara said, eat it. It's a mitzvah, kibud av, chocolate. It tastes good. You're not that hungry. There's always room for sweets. All these things. My yitzhar tov said, no, don't eat. It's bad for you to overeat. You should bench. It was parv. But don't do it. They're battling each other back and forth. Finally, like I usually do, because I'm bad at deciding, as you guys know, by the fact that I never know what title we're gonna learn until 3 minutes before she's here. I said, I'll compromise. I'll learn the Chidah while I eat the chocolate. So I'm not sinning. I'll raise up the Holy Spark, something like that. I take out the safer. I take out my chocolate. I'm about to learn it. And the chocolate melted in the Mediterranean sun all over my safer, all over my Chidah. What page did I turn to in the Chidah? I could show you the book. It's my house. It's the page that said that it's a holier avoda to restrain yourself from food than it is to fast. Exactly what we just learned with Rabbi Nachman. The Chidah quotes that about the holiness of eating and restraining yourself. And I knew that Hashem was giving me a slap in the face and saying, you know yourself what you're taking is. You know you got to work on eating. Stop fooling yourself. This is about Hashem. I can't say that I've mastered eating from that day on, but I definitely know that Hashem cares about the way we eat. So I bless ourselves. Every single meal should be a holy avoda of connecting to Kadosh Baruch. Amen. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Nefashot Rabot V'Chesronan Al Kol Mashvat Rachav Em Nefesh Kol Chai Berkeh Uvinu. Amen. Shkoyach, guys.
Anybody else? No. You're going to get mental disorders. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
How does it seem a child factor?
The Kabbalistic and Talmudic works do agree.
Would you
Thank God. Awesome. See you too. How long are you out for?
I'm out for a month. I'm out right now for like another like 2-ish weeks.
Awesome. Yeah. Beautiful. Face to face. So I'm here on Fridays and Mondays. So
yeah, I know.
There's not the each other. Yeah, that's true. If it were up to me, we'd get the whole yeshiva make a Friday meeting at the Kotel, and we'd sing and dance. Gotta convince these guys. Bizarre the sound. Maybe one day. For JJ, I have bad news. Have to run. I'm the crazy with food. We're going to squeeze in our Shabbos footage. We'll find a time. Seriously, let's try to think of a way to like
learn Shabbos Kodesh.
If I'm in the old city and it's not, maybe we'll do a WhatsApp group. We'll figure that out. But there's a will, there's a way. Harry, we learned to be Nachman today.
That's why we did.
If you want, I'm gonna put it up on YU Torah at some point. Usually within a week. Don't you know something crazy?
Yeah.
I left food on my plate, but I didn't eat. I was gonna finish the soup, and I ate, not realizing that it was bust over. And then we just learned the first thing we said is you should leave over food, and then made it happen. But that doesn't. He's so good at it. He knows what he's doing. That guy of ours. He's a genius. Hashem, this is amazing. He's got the Shem. He's open to live in now. Easy to teach it. Thank you.